You're listening to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Dearing. The Bay State Banner is losing one of its most legendary journalists. Yawu Miller started with the paper as a kid and has finished as its managing editor. In between, he saw both local news and the city of Boston change dramatically. Yawu is with us here in Studio 2. Welcome back.
Thanks, Tiziana.
Really looking forward to this conversation. All right, so let's start sort of at the beginning. You've written that your first job at the Banner was sweeping and cleaning toilets for a dollar a day. How old were you?
I was 9.
You were 9 years old.
Yeah, and I also got to go into Dudley Station and sell papers, like hawk newspapers on the street. So that was fun as well. It was an interesting learning experience.
Do you remember how much they cost at the time?
They were 15 cents, and I got to keep a dime.
Wow, that's not bad. All right. So 1990, you graduate from Dartmouth College. And I wonder, was the plan to always come back to Boston to be a reporter, to be a journalist, to work at the Bay State Banner?
It was. I mean, when I was in college, I worked for the daily newspaper there. And then I also wrote for the Banner during summer breaks and also during a year off that I took. I just, you know, became a beat reporter at that time. And I loved it. So, you know, that was the plan.
I think you've spent, what, all but 7 years of your career at the Banner?
That's right.
So, I mean, you know, there are people who are just journalists in their bones. Why are you a journalist through and through?
I think that, you know, I mean, having tried a few other fields of work, you know, that you know, we're interesting. I just found journalism more interesting. You know, it suits my limited attention span. You go deep on an issue for a week or two, and then you sort of move on to something else. The whole, you know, just being able to look at the whole city through the lens of a journalist to sort of go deep into stories that you find fascinating and hope that your readers will follow along. You know, it's worked well for me.
So I want to get to you and the city in a minute, but before we leave the Banner, so Mel Miller, your uncle, co-founder of the Bay State Banner. Yesterday afternoon, I'm listening to All Things Considered. There's this story of a father-son pair in Alabama who just won a Pulitzer Prize together. I knew I was going to be talking to you today. It got me thinking about your relationship with, you know, Melvin B. Miller, your uncle, and his mentoring. Did he mentor you up as a journalist? And how?
Absolutely.
Tell me about that.
Well, yeah, you know, he, you know, less on the writing side and more on the idea side. You know, we'd always have discussions, arguments, debates around issues. So he always pushed me to think more broadly about things and sort of get out of my ideological ruts or, you know, just sort of limited ways of seeing things. And so, yeah, you know, it was really good for that. I also from him just got a sense of being part of a tradition in Boston, going back to David Walker, abolitionist who wrote The Appeal in 1830. There's a tradition of people publishing, black people publishing in Boston from, you know, David Walker's newsletter through, you know, different newspapers that came about. And he was, you know, very... you know, I think he was born the year that William Monroe Trotter, the publisher of The Guardian, the year that he passed away. But he knew the successor and was familiar with Trotter's successor, a man named Stewart, who ran The Guardian until the end. So he talked about his discussions with Stewart and, you know, had a photograph of Trotter in his office. And so... you know, from him, I got a sense of being part of a long tradition.
I mean, that's inspiring, but that can also be intimidating. How did it affect your sense of responsibility for the stories you reported?
I just went about it really from, you know, a sense of I'll do my best. And that, you know, I didn't feel like a pressure or an obligation on my shoulders or anything like that, but just more... you know, a sense of I do best when I follow my curiosity.
Tell me one of the stories where you followed your curiosity and you think you really did do your best.
I think one area of coverage that was remained fairly consistent for me was, criminal justice or policing, how black people are policed. And, it started for me that my experience with that started when I was 10 riding my bike in Brookline, and a police officer pulled me over and said, I'm going to check and see if any bikes were stolen, put his lights on and everything, pulled me over to the curb. And, I sort of felt this is wrong, but I didn't know what was wrong with it. I didn't know, I haven't done anything wrong. Can they really do that? And, through the course of reporting over decades, I understood that there's this thing called the Fourth Amendment that has its roots in the American Revolution when British soldiers were rifling through colonists' homes and, searching for their personal effects, that the people who wrote the Constitution felt like this was fundamentally wrong, that there should be due process, you can't be searched without probable cause. You can't be stopped without a reasonable suspicion that you've committed a crime. All these things, I sort of learned through the course of reporting and, gave me a frame in which I could see my own experiences, but also understand what's happening to kids, over the decades and, through today. It's still something that I hear from young people that they're being searched. And they know that they're not supposed to be searched by police unless they have probable cause to be arrested. But, basically cops are just turning them upside down, shaking their pockets and seeing what falls out.
So we're speaking with Yawu Miller, who, after a long and storied career, has left the Bay State Banner. You famously went back with a friend, 1 o'clock in the morning, drove through Brookline to see how long it would take until essentially you got pulled over for driving while being black. And you said it took 20 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, that was a fun assignment, I guess. In the months before that, my younger brother had been pulled over, and a singer named Larry Watson was pulled over. Both of them under pretexts, or pretextual stops. Larry Watson was arrested because there was a registry of motor vehicles violation. It showed that his license had been suspended, but it was a mistake. With the registry of motor vehicles, they didn't have to put him in jail for the night. It just seemed like overkill. And he was, he's obviously not somebody who was criminally involved. I was never criminally involved, but was stopped multiple times. So, we could see that there was a pattern in Brookline at that time. We knew anecdotally that people were being stopped, not being charged or given moving violations. And the police weren't recording that. They weren't saying, they were recording if somebody got a moving violation, but they weren't recording the people who they just stopped and questioned or searched. So, that article came out at a time when people weren't really talking about driving while black.
1998.
But it was quickly becoming an issue.
Have you heard that? I mean, this story has resurfaced as lots of different sources have reported on the fact that you've left the Banner. This story's come back. Have you heard from anyone in Brookline in the last few weeks about that story?
No, I haven't. I don't have many sources or contacts there.
So I want to come forward because it's 2020. You're outside Roxbury Municipal Court. In fact, you were looking at the police overtime scandal,
yeah.
And you were here in WBUR. We talked to you about that, but an interesting thing happened to you because you were FIO'd, and you can explain to listeners what that is. You tweeted about it, and it's an interesting bookend. So tell us about that.
Well, I was taking photographs of the police station. Just, the idea was that officers who make court appearances could walk from the police station to the Roxbury District Court, drop off some papers, and get 4 hours of overtime. We're trying to highlight that and illustrate that, it's 50 yards from, the police station to the courthouse, and just, how little effort it takes and how much overtime they get for that. And in the course of shooting the photographs, I think officers were legitimately concerned at that time. This was when there were Black Lives Matter protests happening everywhere. And I believe in St. Louis, police stations had been targeted. So, I didn't think anything of them questioning me. But then they started entering my data, like my information into their FIO database. And at that time, I was aware of what FIOs were. And I was like, why are you entering me into the database? It was really standard procedure for them. They said it was what they were supposed to do. I thought it was, just interesting that, as I've gotten gray hair and don't go out at night and don't drive as much, it's been years. It had been years at that time since I'd been stopped and you know, for in question by police. So I just thought it was kind of almost absurd that I was being entered in an FIO database.
Field interrogation and observation.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah. And you know, there it was.
Especially in that moment, summer of 2020.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So there are a couple of different places that we can go here. And I think where I want to go, because you know the city so intimately, and you've covered the city, you know, 90s, 2000s, through a time of incredible change. And you've had this kind of cat bird seat through which you've done it. And I wonder if you kind of had to, write a headline of what the story of Boston is during the time you've been a journalist. What is that headline? What is the story of Boston?
First of all, I hate writing headlines.
Okay, so first paragraph.
But also, it's, you know, that's kind of like the, you know, decades in review story.
Yeah.
And I mean, well, I've written through the perspective of, you know, people of color in Boston, particularly, you know, with a focus on the Black community. And, you know, I do remember in 1993, when Menino first came in office, Thomas Menino, he said he wanted to retain middle-class families in Boston. And at that time, that really meant the white middle class was, you know, people were graduating college and then leaving Boston for the suburbs. And I think that as the decades moved on and the city developed, I think what we've seen is an out-migration, particularly of, you know, long-standing Black families from Boston to Brockton, to Randolph, to Milton. You know, I don't know that I could do one headline, but I think that's one of the biggest developments that's taken place, is that there were parts of Boston where white people were afraid to go. They're buying homes there now. You know, there were Black people who thought that they would always be in Roxbury, and, you know, many of us can't afford to stay there now. I've seen many of my neighbors move, Black and Latinx people move to Brockton, you know, for cheaper rents or to be able to buy their first home. So I think that's probably the biggest development that's changed in the city, that kind of has driven the changes in our traffic. Our traffic is worse than ever. There are far more cars as incomes in Boston have gone up. You know, there are more households with two cars. The job market has changed. So much has changed, but I see it through the lens of, you know, where are my neighbors now? Where are the people I grew up with?
So, I got to ask you, when the Bay State Banner was purchased several weeks back, the stories all said you'd stay on as managing editor. What changed?
I had time to think about it, and you know, just decided that, you know, this, you know, I had two stints at the Banner, 1990 to 2006, and then 2013 to 2023. In this last 10-year stint, I've said it's a long time to be in one position. I think that my last time as managing editor in the 90s was about 10 years. Before that, I was a beat reporter. It's a long time to be in one position, and it's just time to do something different.
All right. And in that something different, is there a story you still want to tell that you haven't told?
There are so many. So I'm looking forward to whatever comes next. I'm weighing a few options right now, and we'll see.
All right. I can't let you go without asking you if there's anybody you want to give a shout out to from the Banner.
Anybody who's there are so many reporters who I worked with, who I really appreciate. I can't name one without naming them all, but, you know, just had so much support also from past managing editors, Brian O'Connor and Robin Washington. There's too many people really to name.
A lot of love there, though. Yawoo Miller has been managing editor and a reporter for the Bay State Banner, recently left. We're all waiting to see what comes next. Thank you.
Thank you, Tiziana.